Heyerdahl plus a golf. And a year and it went. The people did tshuva. They have 40 days. So the next pasuk is at the beginning of the 40 days. It's in the initial stages of the 40 days because they reacted immediately. They still have time. The hourglass is still, the sands are still running. Vayera al yena rog daila. Vayera, vayera means the sherish of vayera is ra. Ra denotes something bad or evil. So something bad, very evil. Rog daila. Vayichaloi. Vayichaloi is most commonly translated as anger, but not always. So Vayera Yena Rogdela, he was in a bad situation. He was in a bad mood. He was in a bad, we'd call it in Yiddish a shlachta matzev, a bad matzev. The bad situation doesn't do justice. Vayera, it was bad. It was evil. It was dark. Vayichaloi. And he was angry. And it's actually a machlokes between Rashi and the Targum, what Vayichaloi means. Vayichaloi, the Targum says he was angry. And Rashi and Bamidbar defines the word Vayicha as a lashon of tsar, he was in pain. So there was something bad, and that caused him to either be angry or in pain. Okay, so now let's begin. What was bad? So we'll focus on Vayera, Rog Dela, a tremendous evil. Rashi explains that this was due to the fact that he saw that Nineveh was going to be saved. It won't be overturned. It won't be destroyed. And he was misnabe. He prophesied that in 40 days it's going to be destroyed. So they're going to think he's a Navi Sheker. And that's a Chil Hashem. And I think he's a Navi Sheker. I mean, there's a double Chil Hashem inherent in this. Don't think he's a Navi Sheker. That what he said doesn't come true. And they might go on from that. Instead of just blaming Yaina, they're not going to say, oh, Yaina, he made something up. This wasn't real. He dreamed this up. He schemed it. They're going to say that. They're going to go further. They're going to say that there's no such thing as Nevuah, Chas v'Shalom. Instead of believing in Nevuah and just believing that Yaina made something up, which is a Chil Hashem, but it's a Chil Hashem of controlled proportions. But they'll extrapolate from that. It'll grow. That Yaina, we thought he was a Navi and he wasn't. So then all Navi'im are. It reminds me of a story, whether it's true or not. It's one of these ancient Hasidic stories that the town drunk, when he was drunk. So they decided, the townspeople played a trick on him. And they dressed him up in the robes of a galach, of a priest. And he woke up and he sees he's dressed like a priest. And he knows he's not one. So he said, I'm not a priest. But then he said, but if I'm dressed like a priest, I must be a priest. He said, I'm going to check, the closet. I'll see what else is in the room. And in the closet there's more priest robes, suitcases, priest robes. I must be a priest. But I can't. I know I'm not. She's looking around for more proofs. Trying to prove that he's him and not someone else. He comes up with a bright idea. Because he finds in the valise a Bible. And the Bible's written in Latin. He said, if I'm a priest, I'll understand it. And if I'm me, then I won't understand it. Because I know that I don't understand Latin. Only priests understand Latin. So he opens up the Bible. And he reads it. And he can't figure it out. So must be he's not a priest. But then he says, you know what? Maybe I'm a priest. I don't understand Latin. So then no priests understand Latin. You know, this is like... you have a certain premise. All the evidence goes, you know, in your favor. No matter how unreasonable it is. You want to believe something. So no, you know, we do this. You know, this is a story, but we do this. Yeah, everything has to fit into our box. No priests understand Latin. Because I'm a priest. Yaina knew that people are very motivated not to believe in Nevuah, because believing in Nevuah requires one to have responsibility. There's a judge, and he speaks to us. And it requires us to modify or change totally our behavior. If a Navi is found to be a Navi Sheker, if a Navi is found, his Nevuah doesn't come true, then there are those that are going to take advantage of it. They're going to pounce on it. Chil Hashem Neira. There is no Nevuah. Or another conclusion that they could come to, even if there is Nevuah, but it's an empty gun. Even if Hashem sends a message, but Hashem doesn't have the Kayah, Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom to even say these words. You can't even say these words. But this is what people like to think. That Hashem can't punish us. He just was, it's an empty threat. Chil Hashem Neira. So Vayera Lai. Rog Gedayla. That's what the Pasuk says. It's evil. A rug deal, it's a very, you know, he wasn't concerned for his own sake. Perish the thought. Yaina, the person, was the furthest thing from his mind. He's expendable. But Akash Bok is covered. But Yaina, rug deal. It's not just a raw, it's a rug deal. The Barbanella has a different mahalach. And Rashi. Says Vayera, he got sick. Very sick. Rogdela, he got very sick. Now we know that the physical component of a person is very, very much bound up with the emotional component. And the Abba Arbanel says that Yaina became sick of a broken heart. He became physically ill, dangerously ill. He was in danger of losing his life because of this illness that was brought on. The Barbanel says it was brought on by seeing Hashem threatening them with destruction and the decree being repealed. Without them having done tshuva. Because the Barbanel Shitasai held that they were Avodah Zara, and they didn't do tshuva on Avodah Zara. They only did tshuva on Chamas, but not Avodah Zara. And this thing made him sick. It made him physically ill. That someone should avert a gzardin of destruction without doing tshuva, this made him sick. In addition, it made him sick. Is because he knew the reason why Hashem spared them without having done tshuva. This is unparalleled. It's unprecedented. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mavtiach that they're going to die. They're going to be destroyed. And then he takes back the gzardin because they make some shallow. Some changes on the surface. Like, why? It's not real. Kill them. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved them because all that was required was cosmetic changes. Hashem didn't save them because their tshuva was such a high quality. Hashem saved them because he wanted to use them. He knew ultimately that the Aseres HaShvatim, the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim, would not do tshuva, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to use Ashur as his whipping stick, as the means to punish Klal Yisrael. So Ashur doesn't need to do tshuva. All they need is a schus. All they need is one baby step in the right direction, and they buy time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu scared them with the intent of scaring them that they should make some changes. And that's enough. He'll give them another 40 years. He'll give them 120 years. They should just be, they just have to be around long enough to destroy, to exile Klal Yisrael. So they don't have to do tshuva. And you understand, that's the only reason why Hashem would spare someone that doesn't do tshuva. That's the only thing that makes sense. You know, you scare someone and they respond like this, and that counts. Because Hashem is using them. They're not being saved for their own sake. That made him sick. And furthermore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spares them and he gives them time, but the Bnei Yisrael Hashem is not going to give time? That made him sick.
Then what?
He's going to spare the people of Nineveh because they make these small changes, but the Bnei Yisrael don't get the same grace. There's one reason within another reason within another reason. He saw the evil that's going to come upon the Bnei Yisrael. And he wanted to die.
Again.
He wanted to die. He wanted to die. I saw an interesting shot. It's totally different than what we said until now. In the name of David Feinstein, Shlita. That's of Moshe's son. Chazal tell us, Megalgal in Schus Hayidei Zakai, Megalgal in Chayv Hayidei Chayev. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to reward someone, Hashem will use as a shliach, as a messenger, someone of merit. Because when you're a shliach, if you're chosen as a shliach to reward someone, then you get rewarded for rewarding someone. That's a meritorious act, and you deserve it. You deserve that shlichus. I mean, the same thing in the Malchus of the Ara, and in the kingdom of our domain, of our world, if the king wants to grant favor upon someone, so he'll use a dignitary, he'll use someone, you know, that he holds in high esteem to bestow it. It's a nice, you know, it's a nice cushy job. It's a good place to be. It's a nice position to be in. You give out, you dole out rewards. You give out the treats and shul, you know. Give it out. And then you get rewarded for giving out reward. But when Hashem wants to punish an individual or a nation, so then Hashem uses as a shliach someone that deserves punishment. And we see this over and over again. Yeah, Paro enslaved the Bnei Yisrael. He was a shliach Hashem to enslave the Bnei Yisrael. But he was a Rasha, and Hashem wanted to use him because Hashem dangled it in front of him. Paro had a choice. Hashem said, who wants to enslave the Jewish people? Paro volunteered. He did it with gusto. He did it for his own agenda, and then Hashem wiped the face of the earth with him. Reb David Feinstein says that Vayira, it was, you know, Yena was, he was in a particularly bad place. He's chosen to be the instrument of the Churban of Klal Yisrael. Because this was the first step in the process. The people of Nineveh did tshuva, Klal Yisrael will see it, they don't do tshuva, and then they're going to... He's the catalyst. And he felt if Hashem chose him, so then that's a display of how Hashem views him. But he was mistaken. I mean, this, you know, Yehuda was mistaken in this perception, but still, that's the way he viewed it. So he must be a particularly bad person. He doesn't measure up to be the one chosen. to do this. It's not the first time that even one of the G'daylim and Nevi'im didn't see to the very end. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Cheshbonos are beyond even the greatest of all G'daylim Elam. It's not the first time that even one of the G'daylim Elam, the Darkei Hashem, were in this different. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand why he was sent down to Mitzrayim. He asked Hashem, why'd you send me to Mitzrayim? From the time he came to Mitzrayim, the matzah, the lot only became worse. The Egyptians used to give them straw to build the bricks, and now they have to build bricks and find their own straw. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. And there was a consequence. He lost out because of it. So Yen also didn't see. So that's why, you know, that's three pshatim in Vayera, al Yen Rag Dela. So Vayichala, we said two pshatim, pain or anger. And they're both true, of course. He was in pain and it was anger. So what's the additional pain or anger? Something in addition to what we've just said until now. There's obviously something. Anger is when you're faced with contradictions, when it's not fear. Pain can be justly deserved. Someone that deserves pain and is in pain is still in pain. But anger, when you feel a betrayal, you see a contradiction, when it doesn't make sense, when it's just, you know, it's not fear. You give one kid a lollipop, and then an hour later, he eats it. And an hour later, you give the sibling a lollipop, and the first kid, it's not fair, he has one and I don't have one. I gave you one. Yeah, but I don't have it anymore. It's not fair. Certain emotions that come up, you know, when there's an imbalance. As the Abba Bernal says, that it's the imbalance of Kadosh Baruch Hu forgiving Nineveh and wreaking vengeance upon Klal Yisrael. It's that imbalance. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu could find Erech HaPayim, you know, to be slow to anger by Nineveh, despite all the things they did, to anger him, and at the same time to punish Klal Yisrael, to bring destruction on Klal Yisrael, and yet he didn't understand it. So that produced within him a feel it's unjust. And of course we're talking about on his level, you know, very deep and very minute and very small. But that was, you know, there was some type of, you know, imbalance. To him, he didn't understand, he didn't see it. At Chas v'Shalom, he didn't get angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the word Vayichalai means imbalance. It's the same, you know, it's a thing which produces anger. The Radak goes with the Mahalak Vayikalai is pain. And not anger. It's pain. Like Rashi and Bamidbar. Vayikalai is that he was in pain because he saw the Klal Yisrael. He saw it Nevuah. Radak said that he had Nevuah. How did he know the Klal Yisrael wasn't going to do tshuva? What's he so worried about? Maybe they'll do tshuva. So Radak said Hashem showed him with Amara HaNevuah. He showed him a prophetic vision that Nineveh would do tshuva and Klal Yisrael would not do tshuva. Which answers a major question here. If we're in the middle of the 40 days, so how does he know that Nineveh is A, going to do tshuva, B, not get destroyed, and the Klal Yisrael, three things have to happen. Nineveh has to do tshuva, Nineveh has to be remain in its state, and Klal Yisrael is not going to do tshuva. How did he know all this? So the Radak answers that he's a Navi. The Navi knows.
Yeah, but we also said that this Nevuah where it says the second time that Hashem appeared to him was the last time also.
That was so included.
Oh, it was like one long kind of...
Yeah, the Nevuah was revealed to him, and not everything which he saw was written down openly in the Pasuk. It's in the Pasuk, you just have to search for it. It's in the words Vayera, or Vayicha, it's in the words Vayicha. It's there, it's just not in an expanded form, that you need the Rishonim to take it out. He had the Nevuah. He had the Nevuah and he saw all these things. And that's how he knew in advance it was going to happen, and he was in pain. So the Radak explains, Vayera is, you know, we talked about the Chilul Hashem, and we talked, you know, that's about him. Vayir Alon, Vayichar is what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. So all the Mefarshim break up the two segments of the Pasuk in different ways. No, the Malbim has a kasha over here. He deals with an issue. Like, why do you have such a strong response from Yaina? What set this response off? He went there. He told them they're going to be destroyed. And they did tshuva. I mean, the Malbim asked this. Would Avraham Avinu have been angry or hurt or disturbed if Stoyim did tshuva? Stoyim set themselves up against anything that Avraham Avinu ever stood for. Avraham Avinu didn't like them. He didn't have any particular affection for Stein. But Avraham Avinu saw the potential in every single person to do tshuva. And even though the way they are now is the Rishayim, Aruim, Mishchasim, and they deserve to be destroyed, he still davened for them. But he didn't daven for them to remain the way they were. If the people of Stein would have done tshuva, if Hashem would have sent a Navi to Stein and they would have done tshuva, Avraham Avinu would have evoked a joyous response. And here Yain is sent there, he tells them to do tshuva, they do tshuva, there's an immediate reaction, and he's in pain, and it's evil. I mean, the Malbim talks about this, like with the Bar B'Nazm Mahalach. So he wasn't in pain because they did tshuva. Any step to take in the right direction is there's nothing to get angry about. It's because of all the ramifications that it wasn't a real tshuva and it's going to cause Klal Yisrael's destruction. It's going to so he wasn't angry because of the tshuva. He was angry because of what's going to come from it. If the people of Nineveh would live in a vacuum, then there wouldn't be a source of anger. It's going to cause Klal Yisrael's destruction. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not doing the not dealing with Nineveh in the same manner. It's not an even playing field. He's going to be the instrument for it. But that's the way most of them are functioning, somewhere along these lines. The Aben Ezra argues with the Radak. Because he's also bothered by this question. How does Yehuda know what nature the tshuva is going to take? How does Yehuda know in advance that the tshuva is not going to be genuine? And how does Yehuda know that Nineveh is not going to be destroyed? So we said the Radak addresses this by saying that Yehuda got a nevuah. This would be so. But to have an Ezra, so this pasuk is after the 40 days are over. Perek Dal Pasuk Aleph is out of place. It's way out of place. It's This is a Kalal and Chazal. Ein Muktam and Mo'ukah B'Taira. The Torah is not in chronological order. And this pasuk is an example of that. It was out of order. It's over. He knows that they didn't do tshuva, and he knows they weren't destroyed. The time is up. But Yeril Yain rogged out of Yichala, because he already saw it. He saw it with his own eyes. It's out of order. Pasuk reads, Vayispal al Hashem, he davened to Hashem. Vayem, and he said, Ana Hashem. Bevakasha, I'm requesting, please. Hashem. Aloy zedvari, behold, this was my words. Adi yesi al admasi, but I was still on my land. Al ken kidamti livrayak tashisha, that's why I proceeded to flee to Tarshish. Kiyadate, because I knew. Kiyata Kel, you are the mighty God. Chanun, grace, you're the God of grace. Virachum, compassion. Erech Apayim, slow to anger. Rav Chesed, abundant loving kindness. V'nicham al ha'ra. And you retract. You take it back. V'nicham al ha'ra. You take back evil decrees. You'll notice that there's no tefillah here. Where's the tefillah? He's informing God. He said, I knew this was going to happen. That's not a tefillah. That's a tefillah. So Radak said there is a tefillah, but the pasuk didn't tell us of the tefillah openly. And when you hear the tefillah, you'll understand why. The doctor of Yisbal Hashem is that he was davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu to kill him. It's a hidden tefillah. He was asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu to take him. And we'll see this in the next pasuk. The next pasuk expounds on this. He davened Hashem, kill me. And the rest of the pasuk is why.
Who says this?
The Radak. The rest of the pasuk is why. He spalled Hashem. He davened Hashem. Kill me. There's a commentary by Rabbi Avadia Sipurno. And Sipurno says he davened. There were two segments to this nevuah. There's a nevuah that Nineveh is going to be destroyed, and Nineveh wasn't destroyed. And then the follow-up nevuah is a nevuah to Klai, so they're going to be destroyed. The Sipurna says Yehonya was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I did it. I was mekayim de shlichus. I went to Nineveh. I know what's going to come from this. One thing I asked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I don't want to be the one. I'm asking you not to be chosen as the one to be the instrument of of Bepoel, the actual instrument, the carrier of the Nevuah to Klal Yisrael, that they're going to be destroyed. So he's diving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this should be the last time he's called upon to do such a thing. He did it. He had no choice. He did it. He saw he had no choice. He became to that realization that he has to go. But he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to spare him.
I hear. And so the ones who did prophesize the book, not Zechariah, what was it?
Yirmiyahu?
Yirmiyahu
was to Yehuda and Binyamin.
But who's the other, the ones who did?
The actual?
Was it a thing, was it like Yoni looked at it, that's a messenger to do something bad?
Yes, that's what he said from Rabbi Feinstein. He doesn't want to be the one. He doesn't want to be the instrument. So the pasuk says, Alei Zedvori, this is my words, Adiyesha al-Masi, while I was still on my ground, I was still on my land. What's the meaning of that expression? Is I said this when I was still on the land. So the commentary in Metzudas David explains that the word Adam is used here because Yehonya started out on dry land. He sought to escape by ship, by sea. So Yehonya was expressing, this is what I thought. I thought this was going to happen. I foresaw this before, while I was still on dry land. So the word Admasi, according to the Metzudas David, means dry land. I saw I'm going to go, and they're going to do tshuva, and it won't be a real tshuva. They're going to be spared anyway. The Metzudas David. The word Admasi refers to when his feet were firmly planted on dry land before I got into the boat. That's why it says Admasi.
Why did he do it? He had to try?
What do you mean? Why did he do what?
If if he knew that everything was going to happen with the fish and everything like that, and that it
wouldn't happen. No, he didn't foresee the fish. He foresaw that if he goes to Nineveh, from then on, the process from then on. No, he did not foresee the fish. We explained that he thought that he could escape from the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch. Thought the Kaddish Baruch wouldn't reveal himself to someone that's doing his best to avoid the relationship. And he was mistaken. The Abarbanel has another explanation of the word Admasi and what prompts him to explain it differently than the Mitzvah David is because according to Mitzvah David it should have just said Adama. Adama means dry land. Admasi means my dry land. It's possessive. Admasi, my dry land. And there's no need to, this is the Abarbanel. There's no need to say that. If you're just referring to the state of being on terra firma, ground zero, so then you just say Adama. Why do you say Admasi? The Bible says Admasi refers to my land, Eretz Yisrael. That's the land of the Jews. Admasi is Eretz Yisrael. So Eloi Zedvori, this is what I said, Adhayasi, Admasi. When I was in my land, I was in Eretz Yisrael. Why is he mentioning Eretz Yisrael here? Because Yom is saying, I finally understand why Kaddish Baruch is doing all this. He's not saving the people of Nineveh because they deserve it. It doesn't come out of compassion and concern for Baal Tshuva. Because they're not Baal Tshuva. And they don't deserve it. There's one reason why this is going on. Because Hashem intends for the people of Asher to conquer my land. So word Admasi refers to the Melchama, to the siege against Eretz Yisrael. Now I see. Now it dawns. Light the ones on me. They're going to come to my land. The pasuk continues, Al ken kidamti livreach Tarshish. That's why I proceeded to flee, to escape to Tarshish. On this phrase, the Malbim explains, if I thought that the people of Nineveh would do true tshuva, I never would have run away. But I'm privy. He was privy to the Darkei Hashem, to the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeni knew that Kadosh Baruch has a midah of Erech HaPayim. He's slow to anger. He gives time. Hashem grants time. He gives time to those that don't deserve it. They deserve the right. He gives them time. And Yeni said, my reason for running away is because I knew that B'dakei Hashem would have rachmanis on them, even though they don't do tshuva. He'd give them time. So if I thought that they would do tshuva, if I thought they deserved to be saved, they definitely would have gone. But since I know that Hashem would save them and repeal the decree, even though they don't deserve it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a midah called Erech HaPayim, that's why I ran away. So that's how you read the rest of the pasuk. Ken kidam to the verek tashisha, that's why I ran away. Why did I run away? Ki yadati, because I knew you're kel chanav rachim. I know that you have these midahs. I mean, without the Malbim's explanation, it's very difficult to explain the hemshich, the continuity of the pasuk. I ran away because I knew you're compassionate God. What's the connection? I ran away because I knew that you're compassionate God, and therefore you're going to forgive them when they don't deserve it. And that's why I ran away. But if they would deserve it, if they're being granted existence because of their actions, I never would have run away. So one statement follows another. let's go through the midas in the pasuk. The first midah in the pasuk, ki ata kel, you're kel. Rashi explains kel as midas achesed. But it's not just an ordinary trait of chesed, love, loving kindness. It's powerful chesed. One could be about chesed when it's easy to be about chesed when there's no obstacles to overcome. Being about chesed to someone you like, being about chesed to someone that deserves it, being about chesed to someone that doesn't put something in the way of it. But Kadosh Baruch is the ultimate Baal Chesed. That means nothing stands in the way of Hashem's Chesed. It's powerful. Chanun. The sherish of the word Chanun, and we translate it as grace. The sherish of the word Chanun is Chinam, for free. That means that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Chesed for nothing. One doesn't have to do anything to deserve it. Hashem does chesed because he wants to do chesed. The motivating factor for Hashem's chesed is because Hashem wants to do it, not because of anything external. One doesn't have to be deserving of chesed. I mean, the biggest raya, the best illustration of this is Hashem created the world with chesed. And it's not possible to say, this is like an impossible statement, that Hashem created the world with chesed because the world deserved to be created. Something which doesn't exist can't deserve to be created because it's not there. So that's the prime example of pure unadulterated chesed. You do chesed even to something that doesn't exist yet. You do chesed to the future. Rachum. That's when one deserves an einish, at the point when Hashem finally dictates there's going to be a punishment. The time is up. Hashem doesn't want to do chesed anymore. Now it's time for din. At that point, at that rare point, at that point when it's finally din, so Hashem mitigates the din. He dilutes it. And we saw about the Chet Ha'Egel, all of Klai Yisrael, Sky of Misa. The Kadosh Baruch Hu took the punishment from the Chet Ha'Egel and he spread it out for all of eternity until, you know, the time of the final Geula. All the Yemais Elam Hazeh were suffering for the Chet Ha'Egel. And we happily suffer for it because the alternative would be that we wouldn't be here. Chet HaMeraglim, Klal Yisrael had a death sentence. But Kadosh Baruch Hu arranged it in a way that every year on Tisha B'Av, the entire Klal Yisrael would dig a grave. They'd each dig their own graves, go to sleep, and approximately 1/39th of Klal Yisrael didn't wake up in the morning. But it allowed for continuity. So Rachum is the midah that when din finally comes, but it comes in a manner that allows a tomorrow. As I'll say, the word Rachum, Reish Chesmem, is the same letters as Machar. Tomorrow. I give you a tomorrow.
Who says Rachum and Machar?
I heard it from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Chesed. So Rav Chesed is Chesed again. We have Chesed a second time because Kale was Chesed. So Rav Chesed. The word Rav denotes an abundance of chesed. That means more than you would expect, more than the amount. And the Ibn Ezra says, Rav chesed is Hashem does chesed even to Rishayim. You could say there's three categories. People that deserve, Ibn Ezra, people that are deserving of chesed, people that get chesed for nothing, and are those that they deserve the opposite of chesed. So for Rav chesed is to Rishayim, that they're on the other side. They're on the other side. So that's Varav Chesed. Hashem is a special midah just for those, not just that they don't deserve it. You know, they come, they want a candy, and they deserve a patch. But instead of giving him the pot, you give him a candy. That's Barav Chesed. Pasuk Gimel. Vata Hashem. And now Hashem, kach nos nafshi, take my soul, take my life. So according to the Radak in the previous Pasuk, here the Pasuk is letting us in on what the tefillah of the previous Pasuk was. Take my life, mimani for me. Ki tov ma'aseh michaye. Death would be better for me. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate meitiv. Hashem always wants the best for people. And the end he said, for me, tov. Tov for me is death. Tov for me is not life. So I said to Pshatim, you know, why did he say this? Tov ma'aseh michaye. The Malbim explains it's due to the fact that he was the cause of the Churban of the Aseret HaShvatim. Like you asked, live. He can't live. He said, that's not life. Being in this world and being the cause of the destruction of the Aseret HaShvatim, that's not life. I won't be able to learn. I won't be able to daven. I won't be able to have simcha. You know, it's not life. I won't be able to function as a living human being. So to be in this world and not be alive is worse than being dead. You understand? I'm not going to get over it. He's not going to get over it. You know the Gemara with the Rabbi Yechon and the Reish Lakish. There was an unpleasant encounter between Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish. They were the penultimate chavrusas. They couldn't live without each other. And Rabbi Yechanan misunderstood Reish Lakish. And he had tsar. There was a machlekes at what point a sword becomes mukshel kabel tumah. A vessel can only become ritually impure when it's in its final form. An unfinished vessel can't become tamei. So what, you know, at what stage is a sword finished? Is it when it's banged out, hammered out, smelted, sharpened? There's different stages. And there was a heated argument about it. And Reish Lakish expressed an opinion. And Rabbi Yechanan said something like, you know, Reish Lakish was a robber before he became the Gadol Hador. Rabbi Yechanan says, oh, you're a robber, so then you think you know better than everyone else. That's at least the way that Reish Lakish took it. And Reish Lakish took it that way. Rabbi Yechanan didn't necessarily mean it that way. He said, "Man, the listim list yusi yadana." Some, you know, a listim knows what, you know, at what point his tools of his trade are finished. And Reish Lakish says, "If that's the way, you know, if that's the way I'm referred to, even after I've come so far, so what did I gain from all my efforts?" Now, Rabbi Yechanan thought that Reish Lakish was regretting his decision to be, you know, it was just one big, huge misunderstanding. Which shows that when you have a machlekes, there's always severe ramifications, there's consequences. And Rabbi Yechanan had tsar, because he thought that Reish Lakish was having second thoughts, and because Reish Lakish was the cause of the tsar, Reish Lakish Hashem, you know, he died. And he died. So they, you know, Rabbi Yechanan needed a chavrusa, and that chavrusa was not successful because it wasn't Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish used to challenge everything that Rabbi Yechanan ever said with multiple proofs against him, and the Tana, the Amira, I think it was Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Rabbi Yechanan would say something, he'd bring a proof to him. Rabbi Yechanan says, you know, Reish Lakish, I used to say something, and he'd bring, I think it was like 300 braises, and. To disprove me. And you, I say something, and you bring me a raya. I need that. I need you. I don't need you to bring rayas to me. I need you to bring rayas against me. And he lost his mind. So Chacham davened for him that he should die. And Hashem listened to the tefillahs. It says they asked Rachamim. He should die. And Hashem listened to the tefillahs and he died. So the question is raised. Why didn't they daven he should get his sanity back? If Hashem listens to the tefillahs that they could daven for someone to die. And Hashem grants their wish. So they should daven, you should get better. The answer is, of course, there's not, you know, Rabbi Yochanan without Rish Lakish is not life. The same reason, the same cause of him going insane, losing his mind. The first time, they daven for him to get better, he'd go crazy again. He wouldn't have a life. They can't daven that he should feel okay about it. And it's worse to be alive than to be dead. And that's what Yena felt. If he's the cause of Klai Yisrael's downfall, so then he has no place in reality. I mean, Ebenezer points out there's a precedent for this. By the Chet Egel, Hashem told Moshe, I'll destroy Klai Yisrael. But we'll still have a Klai Yisrael, Moshe. We'll make Klai Yisrael out of Moshe. And Moshe said, that's not life. That's not life. Klai Yisrael is a B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Klai Yisrael is not the B'nai Moshe. To live in a world that there's no B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov is not life. And if you don't grant them a reprieve, Mecheni Na Misifrecha, wipe me out of your sefer, which means write me out of existence. Delete me from the book. So Yaina had who to follow. And this part, the Marikara explains that Yaina wished to die because they're going to think he's a Navi Sheker. And it's a Chil Hashem. And Yaina could not live a life of being a Mechal Hashem. To live in a world that he's known as a Mechal Hashem, that he caused a Chil Hashem, he can't be alive. He can't live. Now we'll start Pasuk Bal. I don't think we'll finish, but we'll start it. Vayemer Hashem, and Hashem says, I hate Tivcharalach. Which literally means, is it good that you're angry? Which is something also which we have to devote effort into understanding what Hashem is saying to him. That's the way the Mitzvah Tzion explains the pasuk. Hayitiv Charalach with a question mark. The Mitzvah Tzion puts a question mark at the end of the pasuk. Is it good that you're angry? Or like we said before, is it good that you're in pain? The two pshatim in chara. Is it good that you're angry? Is it good that you're in pain? Right, so there's different, you know, Mepharshim, they explain the pasuk with this mahalach, the mahalach of the Mitzvah Tzion. So Hashem is asking a rhetorical question. Like, do you think that you're right? Do you think that you're justified in feeling this way? Yaina, you don't understand. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to grant him understanding. There's going to be a lesson learned in the following sukkim. So this is like the introduction. Yaina, is it toiv? Is this proper? The emotion, are you feeling angry or are you feeling pain? Is that a proper emotion? There's something, there's a part of the picture that you're not seeing. Hashem is going to show it to him. That's the way the Mitzvah Tzion learns. The Targum explains this pasuk. It's a statement. It's a statement of fact. Hahetev Karalach, he translates the words Hahetev, not as good. Hahetev is a lot. Tuva, in Aramaic, the word Tuva means abundance. This is the Targum. A lot. An abundance. Ha'hetev charalach. Like Hashem is saying, I see that you're very, very much in pain. It's an observation. You must be in a lot of pain. You're in a lot of pain. That's two pshatim. And the last pshat for today is the Radak. The Radak puts a pause in there. Get rid of a pregnant pause. Ha-hetev? Pause. Charlach? Ha-hetev means the good, because of the good that's happening to, you know, that's happening to Nineveh. They granted a reprieve. They're brought back from death row. They got pardoned by the governor. Ha-hetev? Because of the good, due to the good? Pause. Charlach? Is that why you're angry? You're angry because of the good? Is that a cause for anger? So we have the three pshatim. Hetev can mean abundance. Hetev can mean because of the good that's happening to them. Or hetev would mean, is it proper, the emotions that you're feeling? So Hashem, tomorrow we'll go further with this.
Because of the good, that's why you're in pain?
Yeah.